Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. How many know that the last teaching we did on guile and reviling was very helpful to get us through the holidays, right? Praise God. So I went and I was praying about finishing this teaching up, and I went and looked at what today's topic was and thought, well, this is pretty good. So we're in 1 Peter 4. It's a therefore, so we need to go back to 1 Peter 3 really quick and say, therefore what? So basically, 1 Peter 3:22, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, is at the right hand of God. The angels and authorities and powers are now subjected to him. Therefore, Christ, having suffered for us in the flesh, also you arm yourselves with the same thought, because he, having suffered in the flesh, has been made to rest from sin. Let me just say, has anyone gone through a really difficult trial, a trial where there was suffering in your flesh, there was like maybe a sickness you were fighting or a situation that was so difficult, and in that place you really went after God and just cried out for God to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free? Or for me, it was to heal my son. And there is revelation that comes in that kind of suffering and that kind of trial that causes us to let God deal with our heart issues. Amen? If you're going to get victory, God's going to deal with your heart issues, because Satan can only do what he has been given a right or authority to do based on areas in our life that have to be crucified with Christ. Amen? And except there is where you can suffer for just straight out righteousness' sake, which is persecution, which we're going to see more and more in America as time goes, unless God really turns things around. But when we suffer in the flesh, it says we can arm ourselves with the same thought, because he, having suffered in the flesh, has been made to rest from sin. And so part of going through suffering, we need to get the revelation is, Lord, what are the sin issues, the attitude sins in my heart? What are the things that I don't see right? What are the things that are wrong? And I just want to encourage everybody, if you're going through something, because most of the church doesn't seem to teach this that I can find. And so people stay sick and people stay in the same trials, and sometimes they get free for a while, but then they're right back there. Let me tell you, authority comes when you deal with your heart issues. Holy Spirit, show me why. I used to have migraines. I don't have migraines anymore. Lord, show me why. He showed me control. He showed me areas where I took it on. Amen. When my son was sick for all those years, he showed me generational curses. He showed me things that the enemy had done to in our family line that opened that door. Amen? And now my son is fine. And the church needs to wake up to this reality that God expects us to run to him and not change doctrine and say, God, why is this going on? And open your ears to hear, because he's going to tell you something about you. All right. So, because after suffering in the flesh, then we learn to stop our sinning, we rest from our sin, for him no longer to live in the lust of men, but to live the remaining time in the flesh in the will of God. So as we go through these trials, it should cause us, as we get closer to God and hate what God hates, and we crucify the flesh, right? You're going to come out on the other side of a trial, if you do it correctly, led by the Holy Spirit, where you'll no longer care about the things that normal people care about who don't know God, the lust. And for the remaining time that you're going to live in this body, in the flesh body, your desire is going to be to do the will of God. Amen? How many can say, as you've learned to mature and walk through things, this is a reality in your life? Amen? And so he's telling us there. So you can count it all joy. You can count it all joy, your various trials, if you do this thing right. Because in that, you'll count it joy when you encounter God. You'll count it joy when you begin to get in a real deep relationship with this powerful, holy, mighty, awesome, wonderful God, and you start letting him destroy you living like the world. Control has to go. self-protection and taking care of self and all these different things that keep us bound to living like the world has to be destroyed. So these trials aren't going to go away because you don't like them. Amen? They're not going to go away until you overcome them. And whatever opened the door for that thing, that door is no longer open. God has closed that door as you've walked with God. All right. For the time of life having passed is sufficient for us to have worked out the will of the nations. Having gone on in lust, drunkenness, parties, carousing, and lawless idolatries, in which they are surprised that you are not running with them into the same overflow of unsavedness, blaspheming. All right. The world is amazed when the church really, not self-righteously, but because of the suffering and what we've walked through and how we've learned to know God and how we've learned to hear God and how we've learned to see things from God's perspective. Does everybody understand this? This isn't a self-righteous, I'm going to change my behavior so everybody will think I'm spiritual and so will I. This is not about that. This is about a real walk with the real God where there's real demonic attacks and there's real angelic protection and there's this real spirit realm and we learn to walk in that and live in that. And in that place, which includes some suffering to our flesh, amen, we now recognize the spiritual realm. We now recognize how real it is, how powerful it is, how awesome it is that God lives inside of us. And in this place, we no longer want to party. We no longer want to get drunk. We no longer want to waste our lives in carousing and lawless idolatries. We're not trying to go to the shows as they come out. And it's not legalistically trying to be better than everybody else and then wondering why God won't let us have fun. It's actually the reality that there's so much more of joy, peace, awesome, powerful righteousness in the Holy Spirit. It's like leaving the natural realm and entering to the kingdom. Amen? Entering to the kingdom where there is this powerful, powerful new sets of spiritual laws, this powerful understanding the heart of God, this powerful death to self that comes through suffering. You know, dying to self that makes us more like Christ. And it's not in our heads, it's in our hearts. So many people have pretended faith. So many people have pretended love. So many people have doing good works and calling it a relationship with God. Amen? This stuff is so real. And I know for me personally, it was horrific suffering when my daughter died. And the Lord, I'm not going to get into all that. You can go to our teaching, the spiritual side of tragedy. It gives a testimony. My book, Joy Comes in the Morning. But in that place of why, God, what happened, God? What's going on, God? Do you not know that there was great suffering to my flesh, great suffering to my thoughts, great suffering to what I was losing, great suffering to there's nothing I could do to change this or control this? Do you understand we suffer? Because our flesh wants to live a different life than the real life that Jesus Christ died to bring us into. And if we'll enter into that through death to self, it is the greatest thing ever. That's why you can count it all joy, for real. It's such a different reality in the spirit realm that the church has better grow up and get into, because the church is going to face and is facing a lot of suffering. And it's like, for me, in that situation, and the Lord explained why and all that, I won't get into that, why the devil was able to do it. But there came this, for me, an instant death to self. Nothing mattered anymore except for God. Nothing mattered anymore except I want to see my daughter again. Nothing mattered anymore. Not in a, I give up, suicide, depression. That's what the devil wanted. But in a, God, teach me your ways. You know, I was talking to the Lord the other day and I was praying about some things and hanging out with God. And he's like, Cindy, I don't think you quite understand the amazement in heaven when your daughter's body was still in the yard where the tree branch had hit her in the head dead with the rescue workers. And you were in your family room and you said to me, to God, I want to know your ways. Teach me your ways. I'm not going by other people's books. I'm only going by the Word of God. Holy Spirit, teach me your ways. The Lord said, no wonder you walk in so much revelation. God says, do you not realize the yea in heaven that you turned to me in that time and you didn't buy a lie and blame me, but you embraced truth and let me show you what happened. And I opened your eyes to the spirit realm like you've never known before. And I've been teaching you my ways ever since. Amen. Now, he can teach you his ways without you suffering like that. But the truth is, most of us won't even recognize that there is another realm and there really is a real life in Christ until we suffer. But you don't have to. Amen. There's a lot of people who suffer and they do not turn to something real in God. Most people get bitter, walk away from God, or twist scripture and never really mature in God. Amen? Okay. For the time of life having passed is sufficient for us to have worked out the will of the nations. God says, I'm putting you here to work out my will in the nations. I just want to encourage everybody. I just think everybody here ought to know it's awesome that we get to minister in India, the Philippines, in Uganda, and possibly doing more in Brazil and some other places as the Lord makes the way. Amen? And other parts of Asia. But even, you don't understand, when we go and we train up people in India, especially Phelps, and he comes and he gets trained up, he goes to Malaysia. He goes to these other nations. A lot of these ministers that we're training up in the Philippines and pouring into the Philippines, they go to all the other nations in that area of the world. How cool is God? He said he's got this thing. He wants to win the nations. He wants to disciple the nations. He wants the church to quit being about her own little life. If I no longer live, but my life is in Christ, it should look different than if I had never known him. Your life should look different than it would look if you had never known him and you were just a person going through your day-to-day life. Amen? I tell you what, mine looks different. I just get amazed. But I still have a normal, very awesome, everyday life, you know? I got a little dog that I love that was raised from the dead. How cool is that? Do you know, every time I look at this little dog, who last night, by the way, wanted to be looked at all night long, I was ready to put the little dog somewhere else last night. Little dog, you're going to the garage, but no. But I can't help it. I just start smiling. It's like, oh, what a cute little dog got, you know, raised up basically was supposed to be dead. You know, and I mean, that's not my, do you know how awesome it is even when my son and I are disagreeing a little bit over politics? And I really am learning to pray there. Get ready Friday night, people. But I think, oh my gosh, Lord, this is the son that was supposed to die. This is the son who was never supposed to reach his full size. This is the son who was supposed to have permanent brain damage. This is the son who was supposed to be blind and have diabetes by now. So even if we're not agreeing right now, I'm going to pray. But thank you for the son. Amen? And when I look at the marriage that this year, I don't know when people will be listening to this in the future, I'm going on 40 years of marriage after going through the most horrific things you can go through. And my husband and I are happily married. We actually really are happily married. We have the marriage God has for us. We don't want your marriage, and you shouldn't want our marriage. We have the perfect marriage for us. And we're closer. And it's just amazing. Amen? That wasn't the plan of the enemy in all this. That's the power and the plan of God. Amen? But I say that to say, I'm not talking about a zombie kind of religious life. I'm talking about I enjoy my kids. I enjoy you know, my son and his wife when they come. I enjoy my husband. I enjoy even my little puppy dog. I enjoy having friends here at the church and relationships. I enjoy my life. Remember, we were talking on one of the other part of this series. If you want to enjoy your life, it said. If you want a good life. If you want a good life. So I want that good life. Amen? We got to quit getting so religious. Let me tell you, if you lose your family in the process of God told you so ministry, and if it's not really God, it's going to be sad, because I think God can bring restoration and healing. I think he should be first. He should always be first. And the Bible is very clear that some people will have to leave their children, their families, whatever. But know this, God has a way of healing and restoration. And he says nothing that we leave, he's not going to give back to us even more here. Amen? So we want to be right where he wants us, right when he wants us, but we want to be living in a life that has been crucified with Christ. All right. Baby sounds. That's because we do this in our church, and there's babies in our church. Yay, God. All right. He goes on, he goes, people are surprised. 1 Peter 4:4. People are surprised that you're not running with them in the overflow of unsavedness and blasphemy. If people are not surprised about your life, something is wrong with your life. Either you're not really sharing who you are in your life. You know, people put those silly things on Facebook like, oh, how much would it take for $1,000 would you not drink beer for a year? They owe me a lot of back pay, you know? I mean, they owe me a lot of back pay. You know, I don't even think about drinking alcohol. I don't even want to drink alcohol. It's not even close to something I think about. I didn't give up alcohol for God. I found God, and I no longer had a desire or need for alcohol, which I never did much anyway. Amen? I didn't give up parties for God. I found God and found out what real partying looked like in the Holy Ghost. This is really good for those who struggle with what am I giving up for God? I give up a life of sin organized and orchestrated by Satan to enter into a life led by God himself that was perfectly designed with me in mind. It says, everyone will give an account to the Lord who will judge the living and the dead. For to this end also the gospel was preached to the dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but might live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things has drawn near. How many know if they said the end of all things had drawn near, then we're closer to the end of all things being near? And when the Lord had them write these letters, let me say, people say, they're always saying it's the end. Okay, if you're not saying that it's the end, something's wrong with you. If the disciples, when they wrote these letters, when the apostles wrote these letters, and they were anticipating that this was the end, then there's something very biblical about living in a reality that this very well could be the end, that Christ could come at any time, that he's probably going to come at any time. And we've watched the downfall of society now beyond anything that they probably even imagined, to say we are very much like the days of Noah. Amen? And so, yes, so like people say, well, they've been saying that forever. Well, yes, they have, and it's biblical. Not forever, but since Christ told them about it. Amen? So I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm going to live as if Christ is going to come tomorrow, because I want to be the bride, and I want to make sure when he comes, I'm ready. Amen? But I'm also going to begin to discern the seasons and the times, because whether it's my generation or the next generation or the next year, there is going to be somebody who's going to be alive during that time. So either way, we need to get what he gives us and pass it on to the next generation and watch God continue to bring understanding. All right. The end of all things is drawn near. Be of sound mind. Okay. Be of sound mind. Be sensible in your prayers. So this shows me as closer to the end that we draw, to the end of the church age, to the time of the return of Christ, Satan is going to go after sound minds. How many would recognize in our culture that there seems to be a real lack of sound mindness these days? Amen. I'm talking like Crazyville. Like really crazy stuff. Amen. Well, that's part of an indicator that there's something major going on in the spirit realm, and Satan is trying to take people's sound minds. So God warns us, look, be of sound mind. Be sensible to your prayer life. I think having a sensible prayer life, knowing how to pray, talking to God, spending time hanging out with God, spending time praying, is going to keep your sound mind, especially as the days draw near the end. Amen? And do not let the enemy bring torment in. Think about it. If you're hearing the Lord and letting fear and torment in, then you're losing your sound mind. Right? So the key to that is to pray to God, to be sensible to God, to hear from God. Amen? Above all things. Okay, if something is above all things, what does that mean? Pay attention to this. Above all things, have fervent love to yourselves. Let me see what it says in the Amplified. Above all things, fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Because the love for yourself, that could confuse people. Amen. There's a little bit too much of that, maybe. But we need to love. We need to have a fervent love for one another. We need to have our love for people, our love for our own selves, how God made us, our love for our families, our love for the church, our love for those who don't know God. It should be growing and growing. It should get flaming hot. Amen. It should be fervent. It should be powerful. It's like, Lord, help me to love. How many know in the end times, or even the day we're living in, whatever point of history that is, it can be really hard to love with all the antagonism, all the name-calling, all the hatred, all the complete divide in our nation right now. And the Lord says, no, you be fervent. You be fervent. You are going to love. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Begin to see people who makes your flesh want to go, ah, those are the people you should be praying for the most. Those are the people you should want to see God do a miracle in their lives. Those are the people you need to stop and say, why are they like that? Lord, show me from your righteousness, what hurt them? What hurt them to make them like this? And begin to quit being self-righteous and move in God's kind of righteousness. Amen? All right. Love will cover a multitude of sins. I believe that kind of love will cover other people's sins. I believe it will cover our sins. What he's saying is the power of fervent love is greater than the power of sin. So if you have someone in your family who is really going the wrong way and there's tons of sin, they need to be covered with fervent prayer and love, like amazing love. Amen. I'm not talking codependency, and we got teaching on that. Codependency is when it's about you. Amen. I got to make them love me. It's my fault they're messed up. Now, that doesn't change their being messed up. Amen. You repent, you get your part right between you and God, and then you pray righteous prayers that prevail. Amen. You speak what you need to speak. When I had a conversation recently on a topic that got a little heated with somebody that I extremely love in my family, I thought at first, okay, Lord, I don't want to be contentious. I don't want to be contentious. What's going on? Because we usually don't have these kind of conversations that get really heated like this. And then the Lord took me to the scripture to contend for the faith. He says, no, when you see the enemy by feeding your kids or feeding your grandchildren or feeding your spouse or feeding your parents or feeding somebody you care about lies, trying to take them off the narrow path, then you contend. You contend for that faith. You speak in truth because you're already speaking in love, right? Especially these people, you're speaking in love. See, the enemy wants you to do this cutely little quiet thing and think everything's going to turn out okay. No, if I have to contend for the faith, then that means in this situation, I'm going to have to say what truth is, rather the stuff going on in them wants to hear it or not. Amen? Truth is powerful. Love never fails. You combine truth spoken in unfailing love, and it's going to break through and penetrate. That's why you don't get in a debate for the sake of debating. You don't get into an argument, so to speak, to win. Amen? You always speak with the intention of love and truth breaking through so that everybody wins. Amen? All right. He then goes on, be hospitable to one another without murmurings. So the Lord watches it. If you have somebody over, let's say you're having a Bible study in your house, or you're having this, or somebody over for dinner, and if you start murmuring on the phone about all the work you're doing because of what you're having, and I could put this out there for church events and anything else, baby showers, weddings, whatever, do you realize when you murmur as you're using that gift of hospitality, you cancel out the reward that God would give you and the anointing that would be on hospitality? Everybody said, why didn't you preach this before the holidays? So I gave you an opportunity to repent now and have a second chance at this. Amen? Be hospitable to one another without murmurings. For each one has received a gift, ministering it to yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What he is saying here, if you have the gift of hospitality, and there's a season and a time to use that gift, if you start murmuring because you're doing everything, because why didn't anybody help? You are taking away from that gifting and from the power of that kind of gifting being released. You do not realize with hospitality, if it's really from God, there's a power in that when people sit around your table. There's a power in that when the family gets around the table. There's a power in that kind of gifting and love that really wins people. Not everybody has that gift. I don't have that gift. I mean, you come into my house, you'll be like, is there anything to drink? Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Do you want water? I don't have soda. I can make some iced tea, but I don't have sugar. You know, oh, you want a cookie? I don't have any, but I could pull some out that Nicole gets me every Christmas and bake them. Just make sure we put the timer on so they don't burn. You know, oh, what's wrong with a paper plate? You don't like a paper plate? Anyhow, it's not my gift. It's not my gift. I mean, it's very plain if you come to my gift. My gift of hospitality, I have a gift of generosity. I will take you out to eat. Or I will buy you pizza and have it brought in. Amen. Very few people get to taste my food. In the past, they were all very skinny. But I've learned how to do some crock pot stuff. Anyhow. All right. Everyone has received a gift. You really need to stop and look at your gift and ask, am I using this for God's purposes and glory? Do you know how you can know that you can know that I have very little hospitality gift? Because God surrounds this ministry with a lot of people with hospitality. He's like, we got to pick up the slack. So there's a lot of people with hospitality here. And I don't talk to them and tell them to be nice and cook that and bring that. I'm just like always amazed, like, oh, how did you think of that? Oh, that's so nice you brought that. Oh, because people are so used to committees and people telling people what to do. When guests come and people come, they all think, wow, this is awesome what you've done at the church. I didn't do any of that. That's just God. Even cleanup, everything's cleaned up and before I even turn around. That's people yielded to God. And you benefit from that. You don't benefit like, oh, I'm going to say, aren't you special? Though you did get a coffee mug this year for if you did anything. But amen. But the bottom line is this. You do it as unto the Lord. Amen. You do it as unto the Lord. And when you murmur about these gifts, you take away what God wants to do with that gift. Amen. And so everybody, just flow in whatever the gifting is that he's given to you and stop and really say, what is that gift and do I use it for God's glory? All right. Each one has received a gift, ministering it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, this is me. If anyone speaks, let it be as the words of God. If anyone ministers by the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen. I want you to see something. God just put the gift of hospitality right along with the gift of speaking or teaching or preaching exactly his words. He went from what people would not think of as that important of a gift and maybe people overlook, so there's a tendency to murmur, to a gift that people would be like, wow, that's as if the Lord was speaking that, the Lord was sharing that. How did they know that? Amen? And God puts it right here together, basically in the same paragraph, to say one is not greater than the other. Amen? It's all for his glory. Beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trial. Amen. Do not be astonished at the fiery trial happening among you for your testing, as if a surprise were occurring to you. So when you hear teaching that we're not going to go through fiery trials, could we find out what Bible they're reading from? Amen. And why are we so shocked? Haven't we lived long enough now to know there are fiery trials? Amen. That we can't talk them away. We can't make them go away. We walk through them and we overcome them because we die to self and cling to God, and he teaches us more about him and his kingdom. Amen. So he says, do not be astonished at the fiery trial happening among you for your testing. Whoa, wait a minute, Lord. So you have something to do with these fiery trials? The Lord has allowed the enemy to be on planet Earth because it's part of this bigger spiritual thing of God crucifying our flesh, of God becoming everything to us, of God testing us. See, we need to see things from God's perspective. Amen? We need to see what God is really looking for. And everything the enemy does is to put us into bondage to what will please man, or make us rebel from man, or whatever's going on. We need to totally step out of that realm and quit doing anything in the sense of to do anything that has to do with us. God, what do you want me to do now? What are you teaching me now? What are you changing in my heart right now? What is, you know, what am I having to lay down? And I thought that was my promise. You know, is it an Ishmael or an Isaac? You know, Lord, what are you doing? If you don't say, Lord, what are you doing on a quite regular basis, I question if you're walking in the kingdom. Can I get an amen? Amen? It's like, you know, Abraham didn't know where he was going. Paul didn't know where he was going. Paul didn't know there's a shipwreck and this and some beatings and this in between and this and that. He kind of knew the final thing. He knew God would give him what he needed. What does God say in his word? Don't even think about what you're going to say. I'll give it to you when you need it. What have we, many of us, spend time before we have to do something? You actually rehearse it in your head. What if they say this, then I'll say this. What if they, I don't do that anymore. But I remember when I used to do that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you relive it as if it's happening, and most of the time, none of it ever happens. It's like you're having a conversation that's irrelevant. You're like preparing for what? God says, don't do that. I'll tell you what to say when you need it. Wow, God, that's like really depending on you. Concept. Okay, so don't be astonished at the fiery trial happening among you for your testing. I'm so thankful right now I'm not in a fiery trial. And I'm fine if I'm not in one for a while. Amen. I was in a fiery trial for the last 2 years. And I've been in worse fiery trials. But in the fiery trial, there's suffering. There's suffering to what people are saying about you. There's suffering to what the enemy's up to try to bring division. There's suffering to what's going on. There's suffering to how's this going to happen. There's all this suffering. Amen? Amen? And God looks at that to see, are you dying to you and what you want and living for me? Are you dying to selfish ambition? Are you dying to trying to prove something? Are you dying to this being about you? Are you getting real with it? Are you looking at it in your suffering, in your fiery trial? Are you letting God deal with your heart issues? Believe me, and you all know this, Satan has done everything he can possibly between generational curses and things he set you up to make you not do this right. So that you keep in the wilderness around the same stuff, the same junk, the same lack of victory, the same lack of overcoming. How many would like to get out of the trial and into the next week? Let me just tell, there's giants where we're going. Amen. But you have to learn a certain amount about God to get out of your fiery trial. You have to change a certain amount into what he's calling you to get out of your fiery trial. Can I tell you, quit murmuring? That's what it says, right? Can I tell you, quit whining, quit looking at it like poor me. Just stop it. Yes, you're suffering. Amen. Everybody doesn't have to know you're suffering. Amen. If some people know, fine. But you have to get rid of everything that you take in to handle suffering that is not just looking at God and saying, what do you want to change in my heart? What do you want to change in my heart? And it comes to a place we can't compare ourselves to others. We can't be envious of others. We can't try to control anything. Let me see. If God is doing these things in your life, am I talking to the right people? Okay, if God's doing these things in your life, according to him, you're not illegitimate. You are sincerely born again of his spirit. You are his kids. And he is training you up. Amen, amen. There are a lot of people who are not even born again. I have no idea what this is about. And then there's a lot of infants in the body of Christ who are born again, but never get beyond infancy. And they just toss around and toss around. They never change. They embrace this. They go after this. And God's like, no, we're going to mature people. Amen? Amen? And he's going to do what he's going to do. You've got to get this. Holy Spirit is going to do a work in you. And the more you cooperate with him, the faster that work gets done. Amen? But you don't have to cooperate with him. How many know he's bigger? How many know he will not be manipulated? How many know you can't just yield, okay? Just say, okay, all right. I don't get it. I don't like it. But you're God. So, and I'm sure you're correct. And I'm sure there's something in here you want changed. And I'm really kind of tired of seeing it all. But you're probably even more tired of seeing it all. So your desire, Holy Spirit, is to make me just like Christ. Your desire is to cause me to be without spot or blemish. So we're going there. We're going there. But what if other people question your faith? Guess what? That's their trial. What if other people question your relationship with God? Guess what? That's their trial. Until we get to a place where we're not trying to prove anything to anybody, we're not free enough to have the victory. Satan has set us up through generational curses, through our culture, through situations, through judgments, through the church. He has set us up for what? To constantly be trying to prove something about something. As long as I'm trying to prove something about something, it's still about me. And Christ is like, I got this goal. You no longer live, but I'm going to do whatever I want through you. And in this suffering, in this learning this, whether it's hospitality or getting to a place of ministry where when you speak, it's his words and not yours, he's still in this whole thing for his glory. Everything's for his glory. And as we die to self in this suffering, as we die to self in these fiery trials, we fall in love with him. Amen. We fall in love with him. And it really is about him. Amen. It really is about him. And you start to taste that and see how good it is. And let me tell you, just because you taste it and see how good it is, how many know we still seem to have a long way to go? Amen. But that's okay. I'm not looking at where I'm going. I'm looking at the one who's leading me. If God is this close to me and he's leading me, guess what? I don't even see where I'm going. My focus is no longer on where am I going. My focus is no longer when am I going to get there. My focus is no longer what's it going to look like when I get there. All of a sudden, my focus is him. And that's the desire of the Holy Spirit, that it would be about Jesus. Beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trials happening among you for your testing. Don't act as if it's a surprise. But accordingly, as you share the sufferings of Christ, rejoice so that you might rejoice at the revelation of his glory. As we go through these fiery trials and as we suffer, even if other people, and we don't have to compare our sufferings. I hope no one. And I know other people have gone through what I've gone through, but I don't want anybody to have to suffer what I've suffered. Anybody. It's not about who suffered the most. There are people who have suffered more than me and didn't get to the other side of victory. There are people who have gone through something that doesn't even seem hard to most of us, who never get to victory. It's not about what we're suffering. It's about the process of death to self and yes to God. It's about the process of glorifying God. Amen? All right. So then we can rejoice at the revelation of his glory. Until you get to a place to really rejoice at his glory, you have not overcome the suffering. You have not gotten through the fiery trial. The fiery trial might seem to be over, but you didn't get to the place of victory, which means you're probably going to be tested again. Amen. Sometimes we wiggle our ways out of a trial. We compromise. We come up with something else. We get out of God's will. We get out, and we do this, and then we think, okay, we're okay. But then we lose that hunger for God. We lose that desire for God. We're wondering what's going on. I would just say, go back and say, Lord, what was it that you were trying to do in me? I always tell God, okay, if we're going to go through this, then get all that you can. kill me as much as I can handle at one time as we go through this. Amen? And when he puts you through the long trial, like we've seen some people in our church go through where you've been praying. How do you know somebody's in a long trial? You've prayed for them for 2 or 3 years for the same thing. How many have prayed for different people for the same thing for a few years? Well, they are adding to their faith, persevering. They're going through the long trial. They're going through the one, and you just get in there and you pray with them and you pray for them, and God's going to work. And let me say this, the length of your trial doesn't mean you're slower. Sometimes it might be even easier to have one trial that does a big work than to have a lot of little trials. But how many know God's in charge of that? You know, I seem to have the one long trial that did a lot of work. And then I've had a lot of little trials. But the one long trial was in many ways the hardest. Because you had to keep believing. You couldn't grow weary. You had to keep going deeper to get to more revelation. You have to find out what's going on, God. Amen? If you are reviled in the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of God and of glory rest on you. People want, I want the Spirit of the glory. I want the Spirit of glory. Okay, well, if you really look at where the term of Spirit of glory is in Scripture, it is tied right here into suffering. It's tied right here into a long trial, a fiery trial, of suffering. Let's have that conference. Fill the place up. We're going to come in and we're going to pray for the fiery trial, the long fiery trial of suffering, so we can have the Spirit of glory. How many know we would all bypass the Spirit of glory? Just get me out of here, God, okay. But how many know God knows his plan? He knows his heart. We don't have to ask for the fiery trial. We don't have to ask for suffering. Jesus says, don't worry, trouble's there. Amen? Thank God. I'm thankful he doesn't show me ahead of time. Amen. I'm just thankful. I you have to get to a place where you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you get to such a relationship with God, you're not afraid of tomorrow. And you're talking to a person who's been through some fiery stuff. It's awesome to get to a place in relationship with God where no matter what happens, you seriously can hear God, ask God to help you, ask him to show you, ask him to teach you, ask him to cleanse your heart. It's like this automatic, where fear used to overtake me with things. Now it's like, okay, this is really bad, but God, what do we do? Show me what to do. Show me how to do this. Show me what you want me to say. Show me, Lord, show me what's in my heart. First thing, God, get it out of my heart. Whatever it is, get it out of my heart. We're going to do what you want, God. That's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, okay, God, what are we going to do? Get it out of my heart. Show me what to do. Man's way of handling things goes all the way back to the fall when Adam blamed God for giving him Eve. Eve blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the devil. And that's what everybody still does. They blame somebody else. It's their fault. I can't believe I listened to them. I can't believe they taught me this. I can't believe. Or, well, it was the devil. He's so powerful. Ugh. Okay, that goes all the way back to the fall. And God didn't buy either one of those. Amen? He doesn't buy it today either. Lord, show me me. Show me me. Show me why we're doing this. He really will when you can handle seeing it. Sometimes you got to walk it a while before you can even handle seeing it. So if you're reviled, reviled means abused verbally, yelled at, screamed at, hated. How many know in America right now with our political system, we have much opportunity to have reviling come against us, especially on social media. Ooh, these are nice people saying nice things. Lord help us. Amen. And then you got to pray and get above it and then ask God for wisdom. And if you don't, you post something, then you go back and delete it and apologize. I've learned it's easier to make sure God said it's okay than it is to humble yourself before people who's reviling you and tell them you're sorry. But if you got to go back and do that, do that. You don't want to get out of God's will for anything. That's the fear of the Lord. I want your will no matter what. See, and Jesus gave us that example of that suffering in the garden. Father, can we do this a different way? Father, can we get out of this? Father, can you take this cup from me? Father, I don't want to be separated from you. Father, I don't want to be tortured anymore. I don't want to go through the torture. I don't want to go through separation and hell. Come on, let's put our heads together here and see if there's a different way to do this. Is there not another way to save mankind? And the Father's like, there really isn't. There's not another way. This is how it's set up. And then Jesus is like, okay. Not your will, but mine. Not your will, but mine. Extreme suffering. The worst suffering anybody could ever go through, he went through. So he could pour out his grace to bring us through every time. Amen? Every time. And we need to understand what the true Christian walk looks like. But don't get hyper-spiritual and try to suffer. Amen? Jesus knew when to walk through the crowds and disappear. He knew how to obey the Father when he said, it's not my time yet to go. Paul knew where not to go. Paul, sometimes they had to hold him back because he was like, I'm going to go and tell them and I'm not going to let them do this to these people. And they're all like, grab Paul. No, Paul, you can't. And they wouldn't let him go. How many know if it was God's will for him to go, they wouldn't have been able to hold him back. Amen. So we have to recognize this flesh that gets in the way with all of this. Amen? And that's the part we're crucifying. That's the part where we're body. That's the part where God's like, look, we're going to learn this thing, people. We're going to get rid of our independent spirits. We're going to get rid of our codependent spirits. We're going to get rid of everything but Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? We're just going to do this thing. We're going to do it as much as he gives us life, time and breath to live, to be made into his likeness. Amen? And we've got to get rid of this thinking, what am I doing for God? God's not about what am I doing. That's under condemnation in the world. God's about who are you in Christ? Amen? God's about who are you in Christ? Think how awesome the church will be when everybody gets free from doing and we all just really live in a state of being in Christ. So whatever there's an emergency, there's somebody there who can handle it. Wherever there needs to be preaching, there's somebody who can preach. Wherever there needs to be signs and wonder, there's somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like if all of us quit trying to, we're supposed to be doers of the word. I get that, not just hearing it, really making it real in our lives. But God wants us to quit being people who get our self-esteem met by what we do for God and begin to be people who are completely immersed in God and led by God. So it's not even us doing it and we know it. And that's not just for the elitism that covering doctrine makes people believe. It's for every believer. It's for every believer. And you get to recognize the only things that are going to count for God's glory are the things that he orchestrated for you to do and that he empowered you to do and that he did through you. Everything else is nothing. Nothing. Well, Lord, it was good effort. It doesn't add up to anything. If it's not Holy Spirit led, if it's not for the glory of God, it means nothing, no matter how. He's the only religion I like. He's taking care of orphans and the elderly, okay? Fine, or the poor. He still calls it religion. It's not the thing that his Spirit leads us to do that's for his glory. It is the thing that's going to decide what nations are sheep nations or goat nations. Amen? But God has this deeper thing, and this deeper thing is going to look different on each person. This deeper thing is, what is God doing through me for his purposes and for his glory that you're going to love doing? Not because you love doing it, although you might, but because you love watching him do it. You love watching him do it. And it is a fun ride, I'll be honest. Our flesh likes some of it as we go along until the suffering comes to do away with that part. Amen? It's just this great journey in God. It's just amazing. All right. And this, isn't it cool? We're talking about this great journey in God. We're doing a teaching on suffering. If you're reviled in the name of Christ, now get that. Not if you're cussed out because you're being a jerk. Not if you're cussed out because you cussed out somebody else or called them names. Not because... If you're reviled in the name of Christ, if what's coming at you is because of who you are in Christ, then you're blessed. But if we were always blessed just because somebody's telling us off, we would never have to go to another conference on how to be blessed. Amen. All you'd have to do is drive down the road in bad traffic. Amen. Whoa, I'm just, my blessing day. I'm being told off everywhere. Woohoo. No, when you are being reviled because of what you're doing in Christ, when you get to that kind of maturity, when you get to that kind of place that the enemy hates you because of who you are in Christ and he attacks you because of who you are in Christ, then you are blessed. And you are blessed because that doesn't happen to you until the Spirit of God and glory rests on you. So it's the process of suffering, death to self, hanging out with God, being crucified in the flesh, that gets us to this awesome place of the Spirit of God is resting on me, and now I get cussed out by people with devils because of Christ in me. Yay! I'm reading what it says, amen? I'm reading what it says. This is such a powerful truth, and what we preach as the Christian life is so shallow for the most part. Truly, according to them, he's blasphemed, but according to you, he's glorified. For do not let any of you, now listen, do not let any of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler in the affairs of others. Oh, he put those all together. And he's talking to believers. You wouldn't think he'd have to tell believers not to murder, not to steal, not to do evil. And he throws this one in there. Hey, I'm talking about meddling in the affairs of others. So many times, especially when you move in the gift of, you know, counsel, and you move in the gift of word of knowledge and discernment, you really have to pray, Lord, I'm not going to meddle in this. So can I just tell you, and I'm not saying I'm perfect with it, but if I meddled, it's not me. I really try to stay out of everybody's business. Back in the day, I didn't, but I'm way been mature to not get involved. And most of you know, yeah, she's hardly ever gotten involved in anything with me. And if she does, all of a sudden it's like out of nowhere and God just comes and reveals something or says something. Amen? But if you're a meddler, and he put that with murderers and thieves and evildoers, I think this is something big to get out of your heart. He's not saying it's okay to meddle with your grown children. It's not. What's meddling? Meddling is sticking your nose in where God didn't put it. Meddling is controlling others or thinking you know what's best for others or not letting others make their own mistakes or not letting others live through what they have to live through to get right with God. Meddling is where gossip comes from many times. Meddling is thinking what you think somebody should do and who are you to think what somebody should do. You need to have this fear of the Lord when the Lord says, I need you to go tell this person this. I need you to get involved with this. I remember Mitchell years ago was in intensive care at a hospital up in Richmond, I think. I mean, I'm talking very sick. And I'm praying in my closet for him and praying in my closet, in a prayer closet for him. And I can't remember which situation, but I think this might have been the one right after Lauren died with the chicken pox, but I'm not positive. And I'm praying, and the Lord said, hey, I need you to call this person because I have a revelation about their bondage. I'm like, God, I'm not even thinking about that person right now. He goes, I know you're not, but I need you to call this person and tell them this. I'm like, I'm praying for my kid right now who's in intensive care. He goes, I know what you're doing. Would you call this person? And I did. I called this person and counseled this person and talked to this person and told this person a revelation while my son is in intensive care, life and death. You think, why is God like that? I don't know. Because it's not about how I pray and how long I pray and the words I say. It's not about what I do. It's about what he does through me. And he just thought this would be a good time to answer somebody else's prayer. God wants us to become people who do what he says when he says it. And we can talk to him. He's okay with going, what? Hey, like, you know, did you check out that hospital in Richmond? You know, room such and such. God's like, we're not talking about that. Well, I started this prayer thing and I was talking about that. God's like, we're not talking about that. How many know when God says we're not talking about that? We're not talking about that. How many know my son was healed? But you didn't do anything. No, I didn't. I just did what he told me to do. That was pouring into somebody else's situation. Amen? We need to get so sensitive to God that we live in a place of faith and not fear. Doesn't mean fear doesn't hit us. It doesn't mean we're going to have to cast on imaginations. It doesn't mean we're going to have to go deeper in God. That keeps happening because he keeps taking us deeper, amen? It means I need to live a life where I'm trusting God and believing God and hearing God and doing what he says. Do not be a meddler in the affairs of others. Some of you need to write that down, maybe get the t-shirt. Some of your issues are because you are a meddler in the lives of others. You stick your nose in where it's not your business. It's one thing to pray if the Lord puts it on your heart. That wasn't me meddling in that person's affairs. Amen? That was God revealing something to me that was wild, to be quite honest, about something I was not even thinking about or really that interested in. And God wasn't meddling. God was answering somebody's prayers. How cool is God? If God would do that for them, don't you know God will do that for you? Won't it be awesome when the body of Christ starts to flow in this place of faith, in this river of life, and we're dying to self, and we're living for God, and we're moving in all these gifts all the time, led by his Spirit, and we're not self-focused? I wanted to yell out a few names there, but I didn't, because I'm learning to behave for these videos so they don't have to edit so much. I just want some of you to stop a minute and realize I am so focused on my problems and my situation and my stuff that God's not told. I haven't heard. I haven't had ears to hear God tell me to pray for anyone else. Or do something's wrong with your life if your life is all about you. And something's wrong with your prayer life if all your prayers are all about you or somebody close to you. Can I get an amen? God, those are fear-based. Faith-based says, God, I'm going to do what you want when you want. What do you want? And then he's like, let's do this. Like, are you kidding? And I know I've said this before, but the one time they were rushing my son to the hospital, horrible shape, and I was getting on a plane to go to Russia. I look like the worst mother of the year. And back then when you went to Russia, you were not going to be communicating with anybody in the USA for 3 weeks. How could you do it? How could I not do it? Now, if you're all about ministry and trying to prove something, then you could do it for the wrong reason. And then it's about idolatry. But if you're doing it because God's telling you to do it, and it's probably the last thing, not probably, it's the last thing you would choose to do, then God is making you walk in faith and not fear. God is giving you the understanding, I got this, I can take care of this, I can handle this, I don't need you to do this, I just need you to obey me. I just need you to obey me. I just need you to walk with me. I just need you to do what I'm calling you to do. Let me order your steps. Don't let circumstances order your steps. Don't let people order your steps. God can use people, right? He can use people. Don't be an independent spirit and not let God break through. But God wants to order our steps. Why? Because he's God. And my husband told me later, as soon as you got, basically the plane took off, he was fine. The whole episode stopped and he got to come home. He didn't even spend the night in the hospital, I don't think. Did I think about it the whole 3 weeks? I actually didn't. How could you not think about it? I really was living in this place of trusting God by then. I had died to self. I think I came more back alive over time and have to die more. Paul says I die daily, amen? But there comes this place where we have to hear and trust God and obey God and walk with God and mean it, amen? Like I said, we don't compare each other. I know my stories. Amen. He goes on. If one suffers as a Christian, do not be ashamed. Now, everybody listen to this. But glorify God in that respect. That means you can suffer as a meddler, an evildoer, a thief, a murderer, a sinner. And then you should be ashamed of it until you repent. We got to quit confusing the two. Amen? We got the world doesn't confuse the two a lot of times. Like they'll see, well, that's because they're so arrogant, or that's because they did this, or that's, you know what I'm saying? And then we hyper-spiritualize it, and we really lose the testimony that glorifies God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And God's like, could you all just strip down the hyper-spirituality and the pretended faith and pretended love, and let's really get in this thing and roll up our sleeves, so to speak, and be led by the Spirit of God and watch what he does that people will notice and see that you're not trying to make them notice or see? Amen? When you're going through this, you don't think about, oh, isn't this going to be cool when my son's healed and I'm taking off for another country for 3 weeks? And isn't this going to be a great testimony? You're not thinking that. Amen? You're thinking, what am I doing? God, is that really you? Gosh, Lord, I hope I'm hearing you. How could I do this? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's one thing to hear everybody's stories and read everybody's books. It's a real life thing to walk this stuff out. It's a real life thing to say yes to God and, Lord, I'm going to do what I feel like you're putting on my heart to do. And this doesn't seem like the logical thing to do, but I just know that I'm trusting you and I'm hearing you and I'm walking with you and I'm going to do this because you're telling me to do this. We need to be God pleasers, not man pleasers. We need to do what God says to do, no matter what other people think, no matter what other people react. Amen. What is God telling me to do? If you miss it, but your heart is not to miss it, God will take care of you. Amen. If you're afraid you're going to miss it, you're already missing it because everything you're doing is fear-based. Lord, I'm just going to do the best I know how to do with where I'm at and go for this ride. Amen? That's all he's asking for. That's all he's asking for. Like, just step out and trust me. Take baby steps. Do what I'm showing you, and I'll take care of you. He's so good. Amen? He's so good. He's all about us dying to being in charge, people. He's all about us dying to self. He's all about us dying to what the devil's put in us. He's all about us, trust me, trust me, trust me. Take baby steps. Trust me. Come on and run. Whoops, running the wrong way. That's okay. I'll grab you. You know, trust me. That's what God's about with all of it. I know we got to get into the groups. Sorry. All right. Oh, we're almost there. Okay. Because the time has begun for the judgment, to begin the judgment in the house of God, and if first with us, what will be the end to the ones disobeying the gospel of God? If the righteous is barely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? So as indeed the ones suffering according to God's will, as to a faithful creator, let them commit their souls in well-doing. Judgment in the house of God, God judging our sin issues, our attitude issues, our wrong doctrine, is going to produce suffering. Why does anybody preach this almost? It's right here. Isn't this saying this? He's saying judgment is beginning in my house. When you become mine, you're going to come under my judgments, and under my judgments, you're going to suffer. And you're going to go through fiery trials, and you're going to be changed into my image and my likeness. Can anybody say, oh, I'm in his will? Amen. I get this. This is the walk I live. This isn't the pretended faith thing that I hear, but this is the real walk that I live. Amen. But in that place, I should have the spirit of glory on me. In that place, I should have joy unspeakable and full of glory. In that place, I should have a real connection with a real God and really be led by him and have this unbelievable life that other people might not even get, believe, or understand. Amen. But that is what he's calling us to. So, Father, we thank you as you stir this in our hearts so that we're going to count it all joy. We're going to embrace the fiery trials. We're going to suffer, Lord God, as you bring these, even these judgments on the things where you want to judge us, God, and judge your house so that we can be holy, so we can be like you, so we can have authority. And, Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you're going to bring us through all of these fiery trials to look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.